is Business Rockstars. I'm Brittany Lehman, and my guest today is Gail Becker, CEO and founder of Calla Power and Vegilutionary Foods. Gail, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So for those who are unfamiliar with you and your brand, tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey and what led you to this point.
Well, let me start by saying I had zero food experience when I started. I worked in corporate America. I worked for one of the largest PR firms in the world, PR and marketing firms. But more importantly, I was the mom of two boys with celiac disease. Mm. And they were diagnosed at such a young age that there was no gluten-free food in the store. If they needed a birthday cake, I'd have to make it from scratch, including the frosting.
Wow.
And what I began to notice over the years was how much junk the industry was putting in gluten-free food. More fat, more sugar, more salt, and more calories. Mm-hmm. And I sort of, like everybody else, waited for them to fix it. So surely someone would notice it and do something about it. No one ever did. So I suppose you could say that Calla Power was born out of frustration for waiting. So I quit my job in corporate America, and I decided to do something about it.
And what was the first step you took after, you know, you realized, I'm quitting my job, I'm full-blown starting this business?
Yeah. So the very first thing I did was I sat my two boys down at the kitchen table. They had been with me as I made my very first cauliflower crust pizza. There were 569,000 recipes online. I didn't invent it. I made it one night. It was okay. Mm-hmm. They asked me if I would make it again. I said, there's no way. It took 90 minutes to make a pizza crust after I got home from a full day of work.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I'll find it for you. And I looked everywhere and I couldn't find it. And that's when I decided to leave my job. But I needed to explain all this to my son. So we sat down at the kitchen table and I wanted them to hear me make the very first call to the only person I knew in the food industry. Because I wanted them to hear, if this were ever to become something, I wanted them to know that they were there at the very first step.
That's amazing. I love that. And Calla Power is now the number one gluten-free pizza and number one fastest growing pizza brand in the U.S. You have availability in over 18,000 stores. Were you ever expecting when you first started for it to get this huge?
In short, no.
Yeah.
Can I add a few more on there too? We're actually the number one better for you pizza in America,
wow,
which was a much higher bar than gluten free. And I started the company because of my gluten free sons, but people don't buy it because it's gluten free. We don't even market it that way. And
right,
today, we are the eighth largest pizza brand in America. Period. We just broke into the top 10. So we're very excited. Thank you. So that's sort of a long way of answering. No, not in a million years. How could I have ever thought of something so crazy as being one in the top 10 of frozen pizza brands?
So what did how did you get to this point? What were some of the challenges that you weren't expecting to face that kind of popped up along the way? But yeah, I'm sure there were many.
There is a challenge a day.
Yeah.
Some are bigger than others, but certainly a challenge a day. I think one of the challenges I faced early on was that for some reason, I guess lack of not knowing better, I decided to enter an industry that was filled with multi-billion dollar companies and brands. Mm-hmm. And the freezer door is actually the hardest space in the grocery store to get into because it's the most limited. Mm. And so for a small brand to break into that frozen pizza door was really, really hard. And I think early on, I was very daunted by the fact that, I'm up against all of these huge corporations. How could I possibly get in this door? And what I began to realize is there are a lot of people along the way in the industry who cheer on the Davids of the world, who cheer on, you know, the new startups, and really wanted me to succeed and helped guide me. And so I went from sort of pretending to be bigger than I was to celebrating the fact that I was a young entrepreneur just trying to make the freezer door a little bit better.
And how did you get into that first grocery store? What was that process like?
So the very first one was, it was Whole Foods in the Southern Pacific region, which was my home region in Southern California. And for any entrepreneurs out there, let me say, you can get into Whole Foods in the region where you live. So you can enter the process that way. So that's what I did. I went, I didn't even get a meeting. All I could do was drop off my samples. So I dropped off my samples as though I was dropping off my firstborn child. And I waited while they tried it. And, you know, you never forget where you are when you get the answer. And I just happened to be in Washington, D.C. at a Starbucks. And I got an email from the buyer at Whole Foods Southern Pacific Region who said, "We love them. We're accepting your pizzas." And I wanted to buy a latte for everybody in the place because I just, it was, you know, it was everything. It was really proof that this idea, this crazy, crazy idea might actually be something. It was a fantastic day.
That's amazing. And now you have sweet potato, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but sweet potato toast or?
Sweet potato toast. It takes a while and then it just rolls off the tongue.
Okay.
So our pizzas today are in 20,000 stores, which is very exciting. The sweet potato toast is a, so what we did, if you think about the spirit behind the cauliflower crust pizzas, how can we take meal hacks that people are spending time because they can't find alternatives? Mm-hmm. How can we make them easier for folks? So in that same spirit, when you look at why cauliflower crust pizzas became popular, another meal hack that's quite popular on the internet is sliced sweet potatoes. Mm-hmm. The only problem is it takes a long time to cook and a lot of people slice their finger. So we said, hey, takes an hour, 45 minutes to an hour for people to, let's make it easier. So we've done everything. We found the great potatoes, we sliced them, we roasted them, we froze them and put them in a bag. Oh, and we gave it a cute name, sweet potatoes. and that is now in stores, just coming into stores now. It's in some and coming into a lot more within the next month. And we've put that, it's a sister brand to Cauli Power under the mother brand of called Vegilutionary Foods. And we do that because what do we do with vegetables? We revolutionize them.
I love that. Well, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Business Rockstars. This is my amazing guest, Gail Becker, CEO and founder of Cauli Power and Vegilutionary Foods.
One step away from homelessness being that paycheck. I was just one paycheck away. So when I got there on Friday, no paycheck. There was probably another 14 people standing outside the front door who had the same conversation I had with my boss. He had skipped town, gone. And I had called my landlord and said, "I can't pay rent. This is what happened." He said, "I already gave you 30 days. I can't give you another." And that was literally, you know, day one of going into homelessness. I was in Las Vegas. I was on the streets. I didn't have a couch to sleep on or friends. I had a couch at the time. I didn't have a car. My car got repoed, so I couldn't sleep in my car. I literally slept in abandoned buildings and basically ate wherever I could find food, which included, you know, dumpsters and garbage cans. My mom was like my ace in the hole. Yeah, I expected her to say what like most moms would say, which was, you know, "Don't worry about it. We'll buy you a plane ticket back to Jersey. You can sleep in your old bedroom. I'll make you a cup of soup," whatever, right? And she didn't say those things. Instead, she said, "Why don't you just go find a shelter?" And very next call was to Eric, which was my last boss, my boss from years prior to. And he essentially said, "I have this office space, and this office space is very tiny. I was thinking about starting a new business, but I'm not doing it now. The best thing about this office space, because it was so tiny, was that all the utilities were included. So I had electricity, but what was really cool is I had this really, really old desktop computer on a table that's like six foot table that had internet access because utilities were included. So I took this opportunity to spend 24 hours a day online, creating a resume, submitting it to a job application, being on Craigslist all day long, being on Monster all day long. And there was a lot of rejection, a ton of rejection. And it was all based on surface level. It was based on how I looked. When I walk in and people saw me, obviously I looked homeless. When I walked into the lobby, they'd come running out from behind the receptionist desk and go, "Hey, you can't come in here." And I'd be like, "But I'm here for the job." "Sure you are, you can't come in here." I forgave her for everything, basically. And what I look back on it now, just knowing that she had to do exactly what she had to do for me at that time. And today what I do is I extend that opportunity to others who are in the exact same position that I was 3 years ago.
This is Venture.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
This is Business Rockstars, and we are back with my guest, Gail Becker, CEO and founder of Call of Power and Vegilutionary Foods. Gail, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks.
So for those who are not familiar with Call of Power or Vegilutionary Foods, give me the quick little elevator pitch.
We are a company that brings meal hacks to life. So we look at what people are wanting and needing and being forced to do themselves because the industry doesn't offer it to them. And we come up with a healthier, better for you version that's convenient, but most importantly, also tastes great. People sometimes forget the last part.
Right. You need that.
You need that.
And you came up with this idea because your two sons had celiac.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So my two sons had celiac disease and, you know, there was nothing in the store when they were born. So I really could see the industry evolve. You know, when gluten-free food first came, my insight was twofold. One, when the industry was first born, gluten-free food didn't have to taste good. And it certainly didn't have to be good for you. It only needed to tick the box of being gluten-free. Mm-hmm. And the industry was making a lot of money off that. So there wasn't a lot of incentive to change. But the real insight behind Collie Power was when my sons were little, their friends would come over and I'd want to make frozen pizzas for everybody. And my sons would pull me aside and said, don't make the gluten-free pizzas for our friends. Make the regular pizzas. Mm-hmm. And for them and give us the gluten-free. And it's because they were embarrassed. Aww. They were embarrassed the way that they looked and the way that they tasted. And I thought, wouldn't it just be great if everybody could eat the same thing?
Right.
If everybody could share from the same plate of food. And no matter what your reason is for eating it. And that is really the spirit behind Collie Power. It's maybe you eat it because you're gluten-free. Maybe you eat it because you want a better-for-you version of your favorite comfort foods. Or maybe you just want a great-tasting pizza.
Yeah.
Those are all great reasons right. to have it. But we're all eating the same thing. And that warms my heart a little bit.
And what was your jump story?
My jump story was, you know, my father had passed away. And when someone close to you dies, it really, and he was an entrepreneur. He was an immigrant and an entrepreneur, and he came to this country with less than nothing. Mm-hmm. And he built a small business. And when someone close to you dies, you really realize the fragility of life. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I wanted to do something different. And more importantly, I wanted to do something that was going to be meaningful and that was going to honor him some way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he left me a little bit of money, not a lot, not enough to, you know, go retire on an island somewhere.
Right.
But enough that I could take a little chance. And so I thought, what better way to honor him mm-hmm. than to follow in his entrepreneurial footsteps? And so I quit my job in corporate America, and I put everything I had into Kali Power.
That's amazing. And on the break, we were kind of talking about all the challenges that you face starting a business and growing a business. And one of those challenges was your first delivery into Whole Foods. Tell me about that.
So my very first delivery into Whole Foods, you had to get right because they're, you know, otherwise I'm a brand new company. If you didn't do it right, they were never going to buy from you again.
Right.
My truck driver picked it up from the manufacturer and was driving it to the distributor. And the distributor had already closed its gates. He had missed the window. So then he drove back to the manufacturer to drop off the product, and they had closed their gate. So literally, my entire life was stuck on a frozen highway in the middle of Illinois until the gate opened in the morning. So I sat on the phone with the driver. I paid him extra. And I sat on the phone with the driver while he kept my pizzas, you know, safe.
Right.
And I really felt like I knew what an expectant father felt like because, you know, that truck was everything, and yet I couldn't do a damn thing about it.
Right.
Yeah. So it was, now luckily it opened, the pizzas made it on time, and Whole Foods and lots of other retailers have been customers ever since.
And good thing the highway was frozen.
Good thing, yes. I was so happy. It was December.
And tell me about the unprecedented success that you've had with Kali Power.
So today, Kali Power is the number one Better For You pizza in America. We're the number eight top selling frozen pizza also in America. But I think the real determinant of success is the notes that we receive from our customers. And it's funny. I started the company because I did some research that I couldn't be alone in my frustrations. And what all these notes and calls and I get cards tells me is that people have been waiting for this. And they say, you've changed our lives. And I sort of laugh because we're frozen pizza. I mean,
right.
How can a frozen pizza change people's lives? But you know what it does? It gives people more time to either spend with their family, feel good about what they're giving their family, feel good about what they're giving themselves, and they feel nourished, and they feel like they have more time to do what they really want to do. And that is the real determinant of mm-hmm. success. We had a great financial year in our first year, but there is no bigger, you know, reason to celebrate than how we are impacting people's lives.
That's amazing. If you could go back in time and give yourself three pieces of advice or give a wantrepreneur out there three mm-hmm. pieces of advice when they're first starting their business, what would you tell them?
The first thing I would tell them is articulate your insight. It's so funny because I explained to you my insight. But I sort of thought, well, other people must have realized that. Mm-hmm. Other people in the industry must have realized that. But really, it hadn't been articulated. Mm-hmm. So articulate it and then put it in a business plan. And if you don't know how to write a business plan, guess what? You can Google how to write a business plan.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be extensive, and it doesn't have to be filled with expensive research. But the mere articulation of it on a piece of paper gives you great comfort, great confidence, and gives others confidence in you. So that would be my first piece of advice. My second piece of advice is get out of your comfort zone. You know, staying in my job in corporate America, where they used to pay me pretty well, would have been the easiest thing. Mm-hmm. Staying is always the easiest thing, whether it's a job, a relationship, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I knew there was something missing. And I also felt like I stayed too long. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to listen to that voice inside your head. You can always go back if it doesn't work out. Right. But it's always better to say oops than what if.
Right.
And never put yourself in a position to say, I wonder what could have happened. Mm-hmm. And then finally, my third piece of advice is we can get by with less stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, As I said, I left a job with a lot of perks. I used to have nice things. And I don't miss any of it. And I didn't really feel rich until I listened to myself. And when I started listening to what I really wanted, it was the first time I realized none of that stuff mattered. What really mattered was that I was finally getting to do what I wanted to do. And I went from earning nothing and feeling like the richest woman in the world.
This is Business Rockstars. This is my amazing guest, Gail Becker, CEO and founder of Call of Power and Vegelutionary Foods.
Have you ever wanted to speak another language? Whether you want to speak Spanish, French, or German, Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons can get you speaking confidently in your new language within weeks.
I just started learning Spanish with Babbel, and it's really helping me with my pronunciation.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿De dónde eres?
¿De dónde eres? Ha ha, I got it! I'm amazed how confidently I speak Spanish now. I wish I had tried Babbel sooner.
Babbel's award-winning technology gets you speaking right away. And best of all, you'll remember what you've learned. No wonder Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Try it for yourself and see why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language, like Spanish, German, Portuguese, and more. You can try Babbel for free. Go to Babbel.com or download the app and try it for free. That's Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L.com. Or download the app to try it for free. That's Babbel.com.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Jo Angelo is joining us right now. She's the CEO of Genev. Recap for us what your company does.
Genev is a women's healthcare company focused on women's hormonal health, and we provide healthy products and content to help women live the best versions of themselves.
So you said you guys are providing products on the back, because I was going to ask, how are you guys able to monetize what you guys are doing? So how do you go and get these products? Are you the ones making them? Are you finding, you know, products that you end up white labeling? Are you doing joint ventures and affiliates and host beneficiaries? How are you guys doing it?
It's a combination. So our healthy products, they're consumer products. We sell them on Amazon.com, Walgreens.com, and we sell them via direct via Genev.com.
Okay.
And they are products that we both manufacture. We've also private labeled some. We develop our products focused on the symptoms women experience with hormonal change in their body. And so a couple of the products, one in particular, we have developed ourselves and manufacture. It's got FDA clearance. A couple of the others we've private labeled with the Genev brand, just to give a family of products for women.
Nice. And so when it comes to selling those products, is it specifically inbound marketing for people reading your content, or do you guys actually have different strategies and tactics to go out, put advertisements and marketing campaigns out that yield sales?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just content marketing?
Yes.
Is it both?
It's a combination of both. So content marketing is huge, obviously, because we're building a consumer brand that's based on trust in a relationship with women around their health. So that's one facet. The other, we do some paid advertising, obviously search and SEO work just to start to build our brand. We've done some press as well. And then we obviously market through the Amazon and Walgreens engines that we're part of from a distribution perspective.
Nice. What have you found being some of the best platforms to distribute your content? And what have you found being some of the best platforms to sell on? Because a lot of people are doing Facebook ads, LinkedIn, you said Google, SEO, different things like that. What's working best for you?
So on the content side, we're obviously publishing ourselves direct and then pushing that out through channels. We're really building the backlinks with different influencers in the women's health space, whether it's mommy bloggers or, you know, bloggers focused on nutrition and exercise and so forth. But we also publish a lot to Medium. It's a long-form space that a lot of people appreciate content, and that's the kind of original content that we're creating with medical experts and with women telling their stories. On the The marketing side, or the digital marketing, Facebook ads, huge. Our space, because women's health sometimes includes some terminology that is a little bit more sensitive in nature, mm-hmm. we really have to work with Facebook to find the right language so that it is publishable. Same with YouTube and Google.
Awesome. And I know that it is difficult to deal with Facebook sometimes with the wording and everything like that. A lot of people don't understand. And I think that if you dominate Google search engine optimization, people are probably, I know you and I talked, we said we can't say some of the things, but people are probably all typing that in on Google.
Yeah.
And if you guys can make sure that you're, you know, paying for those $12 keyword searches, then you guys are going to dominate. But then you got to have a good lead capture and funnel and conversion process at the back end. What has it been like for you? Because I know this is new for you. Getting into this space, dealing with generating, qualifying, nurturing, converting leads. How has that experience been for you?
You know, first of all, when you come from a big corporate space, I was an executive in the corporate space, so I had a team that did a lot of this work. So I'd learned to do it myself. That's number one. And you've got to understand it and dig in. I think more than anything, especially as well as a startup, you have small budgets. And so I can't go out and put the $12 on a term that a big competitor, a big brand that's already in the space is buying on. And so I've got to find the long tail terms, own those, and start to build gradually. Especially on the content side, that's where I'm going to build loyalty and trust with consumers. And so that's my angle to trying to find a unique and different way into this business. A third mechanism is really focusing on the medical referral channels. I'm talking to doctors, physical therapists, women's wellness spas and centers, oncology departments to get our products into their space so it develops that word of mouth.
How has it been received from influencers, from partners, from doctors, from different things like that? Has it just been kind of like, we get it, let's do something, let's figure out how to make it work? Or has there been like, well, I don't know?
It's, we get it, you know, for a long time.
Because sometimes first-year businesses have trouble conveying the message, the value proposition, and setting something up in their first year.
Yeah. You know, I'd say with our audience, with women and with medical professionals, they're like, oh, we get it. In fact, when we started this, we surveyed 1,500 women to understand the kind of products they used and where they bought them. And we came back, they gave us feedback we didn't think we'd get, and they said, would someone start the dialogue already around this topic? So, well received there. From investors, that's where a topic like this is kind of like, you're not in my
space. Are you
trying
to get investors
right
now?
I don't quite get it. Yes.
Okay, cool. I'm curious to find out how you are looking to raise money and then allocate it. CEO of Genev, Jill Angelo, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We're talking about investors right now. Why do you think you need investors? What are you going to do with the money?
I need investors simply to get the business going. In my space, I'm in the manufacturing space, so I need cash outlay for products up front, as well as to build a consumer brand. It requires digital marketing. And so that's where investors are coming in to fund the business.
Okay. And you're going to use the money for products, you're going to use it for marketing to grow the team and everything like that?
Yes.
How has that process been? Is this your first time trying to raise money?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's been probably one of the harder parts of the job.
I was going to say,
I had original angel funding up front, and that was a great kickoff and support system to get the business going. And I think maintaining that, especially in the manufacturing space, I've got to find an interesting combination of debt-driven funding for production and then save the equity for team and consumer brand building. That's kind of my strategy, and finding that right mix is a challenge just to get it right, especially at such an early stage.
What has been one of your best lessons so far when selling? I remember when I was going out raising millions, and it's just a crazy experience to sit down with high-level people that can write a check for seven figures. And getting the feedback from them and being nervous. And what has been one of the best lessons for you that you could share? Because a lot of people out there are probably like, I'm trying to raise money too. I'm struggling, or I'm trying to figure out if it's right to raise money. What's been the best lesson for you on that process?
Well, first of all, really understand the investor and their motivations. Mm-hmm. If you go talk to them and they're not interested in your space or in your kind of business, you're just wasting their time and you're wasting yours. And I've learned that. I've been told that as advice, but I think once you really feel it, when you find that connection with someone who's really interested in your space, that's great. I think as well, know your numbers. Understand the economics of your business and how one thing builds and leads to another. And then have that dialogue with the person. And it's okay if you don't know every answer, as long as they really understand how you think. That's probably the greatest bit of advice I'd give to somebody, because that's when you get into the dialogue and the intimidation factor goes away.
Awesome. I love that advice. Now I want advice on the person who has a 9-to-5 job. There's a lot of them out there. Yep. You made the jump. But I think there's so many people that are crippled in fear, crippled in uncertainty about, is it the right time? How am I going to pay my bills? We get all different types of answers. That's why I'm excited to get yours. Somebody has a 9-to-5 job. They want to, desperately want to cut the cord and go after their passions and their business. But for fear, uncertainty, and other variables, they're not going yet. What's your advice?
I think it's really hard to dip your toe and try and do it after hours. I know that seems like the logical way to do it, but you're never going to put yourself out there and truly be successful in a way that it requires. Like, this is a put your whole self into it kind of
you're
mode.
All in or you're not.
All in. Mm. And honestly, you could always go back. You can always go back to the 9-to-5.
But most people are terrified of going back, because if their friends and their family are like, well, you quit your job, which we already said not to do. You went out and your business failed. We were rooting for you, but we kind of knew it was going to fail, which is like, great. What a great friend or family member. And now you got to go back to the 9-to-5 job. That's like the nightmare. I think most people, employees are terrified of losing their job. Entrepreneurs are terrified of having a job. So to quit your job, go get be an entrepreneur, and then have it fail and come back. It's like the nightmare of nightmares.
Yeah, it's not fun, you know, but you're going to have to make tougher decisions in the business than deciding to quit and go back. And hey, you know what? You maybe don't need to go back. You could do other freelance or whatever to sustain some income until you figure out the next step. But I think it's harder being an entrepreneur and the decisions you have to make versus going back.
I 100% agree. But again, to the point, a lot of people are going through that struggle in their mind, right? Oh no, what am I going to do?
And I don't want to. I have the same struggle. I'm not,
I remember thinking that before my business took off. I remember my first year, and even at some points in my second year being like, oh my goodness, it'd be so much easier to just shut everything down. Mm-hmm. I'm only paying other people first. Like, I'm working to make money to pay other people first. Mm-hmm. And pay myself last. And if there's not enough to go around, I don't get anything, or I get very little. But I'm the one doing most of the work that ends up paying all these people. And it's just like, it'd be so much easier to go get a job and keep all my own money. And being in that place is such a terrible feeling. But I think having gone through that, pushing through it, and getting to a place where you're like, now I'm at a place in my life where I don't ever have to worry about money. It's just like to look back and be like, you got through it. That's the goal, I think, of an entrepreneur, is to get to that place. But you got to get through the hustle, and you got to get through the adversity. Take me back to a season in your life where you had adversity. Could be maybe in this first year of your business.
It's right now. Mm. You know, I'm 1 year into this business, so I'm in that place right now where you're worrying about money, and you're paying everybody else before you're paying yourself, and you're working like you've never worked.
Yeah.
You know, I've
That's
had 20 years
yeah,
in tech,
crazy.
And I'm working harder than I've ever worked. There are super low days, but the highs are really great. And you just have to kind of say, okay, I have another woman that works with me, and we're always like, okay, what are we celebrating today? And I know it sounds kind of hokey, but we're like, hey, let's celebrate the person who commented on that blog post, because it was one person that we reached. And so we make it a point to have a little bit of quirky humor to keep our spirits up, to keep us going. But it's not, I'm in it right now, and every day is a self-talk to myself around staying positive and just fighting through it.
And that's huge. It's the self-talk going on in your head that's either going to crush you and make you quit, or it's going to get you back up and keep going. I love that you just said, you know, you celebrate the small wins. Reminds me of a quote from my friend John Assaroff. He says, celebrate the small wins as if they're big, and the big wins as if they're normal. Mm. Jill, it was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you
so much. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute.
What do the best bosses do every day? I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Your company is only as good as the culture, and that starts with the boss. Here are some things the best bosses do every day to provide a happy workplace and make them wildly successful. One, they don't micromanage. Be an amazing boss by taking comfort in the fact you hired the right employees with the right talents and qualifications. Two, they reinforce good work. It's a simple concept. If you boost morale, you boost productivity right there in the workplace. Three, they listen. Here's a trick. Say, tell me more, to show you're actually listening or when giving feedback. Cultivating respect in the workplace doesn't happen all at once. It's about a series of daily habits that mesh creativity and leadership. It also instills trust in them as well. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 0707 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 0707. Enjoy!
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. This is our CEO roundtable segment. And as always, two rockstar CEOs are joining us right now. Who are you and what do you do?
I'm Kara Santana, CEO and founder of the Glam App.
And what is the Glam App? Do you might as well give us a little bit of background on it?
Right. The Glam App is Uber for beauty. It's hair, right, makeup, and nails on demand.
All right. Well, let's see if he is the Uber of something, too. What do you do?
My name is Taylor Walker. I'm the CEO and founder of Earth Encounters. It's a gaming company. We create board games, educational board games that are also fun, but teach people about societal issues in a competitive way.
Very cool. Give me a contextual example. Tell us about one of those games. I think that's awesome.
Okay. So, like, for instance, answer me this. What changed the world more, Google or Facebook, and why?
Google or Facebook? That's a tough one. I would say Google, okay, just because it's an educational tool. It's a learning tool. Mm-hmm. For Facebook, can be as well, mm-hmm, but I feel like Facebook's more of a news feed, mm-hmm, where if you're following the wrong people, you're going to be conditioned with the wrong information.
Right.
All of my friends on Facebook and followers and stuff like that, it's pure motivation. You scroll down my news feed, you're going to walk away like you're on fire. You're going to be
exactly
motivated.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a typical average person, you probably have, you know, friends that are conditioning the wrong things on your newsfeed, mm-hmm, whereas Google is going to be based on the individual user. If you're typing, mm-hmm, in good things, number one search thing on Google is how-tos. Mm-hmm. And that means people are looking to learn when they go on Google, mm-hmm, whereas Facebook, you're looking to be conditioned with social media. That's my input.
I'm going
to
say Facebook because it's like connective.
I feel like it's a trick question, obviously.
It's a connective tissue that creates communication anywhere in the world, and you can have a conversation with
through friends and family,
yes,
right? See, there's no right or wrong answer. But see, the fact is we're creating that dialogue. And so, yeah, what we've done is we've created a whole myriad of issues and we put it into a platform where people can talk about and discuss these dialogues. Mm. And so
That's great idea.
Very cool. What was the hardest part about getting your company started? And then we'll talk about Carousel.
I would say the hardest part about getting started was the funding part. So we went through Kickstarter, a crowdfunding campaign, and I've never done anything like it of the sort. Yeah. And so originally, it was just a learning curve for us. And putting together the Kickstarter campaign, putting together our team to help promote what we were doing and getting our news coverage and stuff like that, I think that was the hardest part for us.
I can totally identify because I just feel like I got very lucky in our first seed round of funding or with our angel investment. But now that we're gearing up for the second round, there's so many things that I don't necessarily know because my background is not in business and it's not in finance. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much to navigate. So, and money makes or breaks a business.
Yeah.
So it's super important.
And information.
Yes.
Sorry.
Information for sure. What do you think is something that you would go back and share with yourself when you were getting started? I think maybe it could have been to avoid Kickstarter or how to do Kickstarter better.
I would just say prepare more. So what I just kind of took 6 months in order to put together our campaign. But when I, after the fact that I did my research, it turns out that companies were actually taking at least a year in advance to market their, to basically build their community, market their product, and then come out with the Kickstarter campaign. So I think preparation was a little, I would have went back and did a little bit more of that, but it turned out okay.
It's a good one. Kara?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's
The Glam app's been around for 17 months, so what's something that you wish you knew when you got started?
You know, I think for me, being a woman and being a young woman and being a young woman who doesn't have a business background, there were so many things to navigate. And I think I oftentimes didn't choose my battles because I felt such a sense of need to sort of change people's perspectives. And I would, going back and looking in retrospect, I would say, you know what, just focus on what it is you're trying to accomplish and don't be so bogged down with the criticism and negativity.
I would have to agree with that. I mean, us being entrepreneurs, you have to just, you know, be very strong in your resolve with whatever you're doing, whatever company you have. So there's going to be a lot of doubters out there and you want to just push through that and just see your vision through to the end. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. I love what you just said, which was doubters. We call them haters, doubters, whatever, people that don't support us.
They come in many different shapes and sizes, but I mean, you just got to stay strong, and being an entrepreneur is a bumpy road, and you have to have that type of resolve in order to be successful.
You come from an acting background, so at some point, you've learned how to overcome fear of rejection, what other people think about you, being nervous on stage or on camera.
Yeah.
Those are all things that I feel like a lot of people struggle with, which is why they stay in a safe, secure, certain, comfortable environment, job, life, relationship. So I think at the end of the day, every entrepreneur starts to condition themselves with a new way of looking at failure, a new way of looking at rejection, a new way of not so much caring about what other people think. When do you feel like you had developed that mindset, and what do you think are some keys to developing that mindset for people that maybe don't have it yet?
For me, I was an athlete, and so I played college sports, and so, I mean, my coach would yell at me all the time, so that's like one form of rejection. So just, you know, being able to, I've also been able to, like, you know, have interviews and stuff like that and press conferences and stuff like that, so I've kind of been able to, it's kind of molded me, or I've kind of taken some of the skills I've learned from that experience in order to, like, help me in the entrepreneurial space. But, I mean, I'm sure you go through the same thing in acting.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I said it earlier, is rejection is just one more attempt at success. So it's like it's another opportunity. And I think if you look at the glass half full as opposed to half empty, you're probably more inclined to continue to push through, as you said, and have that resilience. And and so I just try and, you know, learn from everything that happens, good or bad.
Yeah, one of my mentors always used to tell me, like, he wants to fail because the more he fails, the more he gets to learn stuff.
Exactly.
And so all your failures as a whole make up your whole being, and that contributes to your success.
And that's a shift that a lot of people have to learn how to develop, is at the end of the day, what separates successful entrepreneurs and people in general is the mindset. We're here at the CEO Roundtable. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining us is two rockstar CEOs. Give us a quick recap. Who are you and what do you do?
Kara Santana, CEO and founder of The Glam App, an on-demand beauty platform bringing consumers and providers of beauty together.
Thanks for being here.
Taylor Walker, co-founder of Earth Encounters, a gaming company that creates socially conscious board games, and I actually sell board games.
Did you guys always think that you were going to be entrepreneurs? Like, she stumbled into it, I know.
Yeah, I just fell into it.
She stumbled into it, but what about you?
I kind of did. I mean, I saw growing up, I saw my father both do the entrepreneurial thing. He used to do licensed beach towels for both the Lakers, Michael Jackson. And then I also saw him do the corporate side of things. And I just saw the kind of toll, the emotional and stress that it put on his body. And so I kind of didn't want that for myself. And so I always knew that when I was going back and getting my MBA, I wanted to put all these skills I'm learning towards creating my own.
Guys, I wish we had more time. It's been a pleasure having you with us. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.